Let's imagine for a few moments what our life would be like if we could access 100%.
I'm the proof that you can ask the universe for.
I am Iron Man.
Hello everyone, my name is Suryesh Singh. I am a brain expert, memory trainer and an entrepreneur. This podcast channel is about growth mindset, self-improvement, building right habit and understanding more about your career, relationship, finance or any other area of your life.
Hello everyone, this is your host Durgesh Singh from Durgesh Singh Growth Mindset. And on today's topic is growth mindset itself. You know, the purpose of me having this channel was to give people a growth mindset so that they can learn and build a good, successful career for themselves. And that is why I have always uploaded things regarding growth mindset, like how to stop procrastination, how to be more productive, morning routine, and so much more. And when I think about growth mindset, I just couldn't think of anybody more perfect than our today's guest, because this man has already done everything that you want to have. You want to have 7-figure income? He has done it. You want to have a successful company? This man has done it. You want to travel the world? You're thinking to travel the world? This man is already doing it. So please welcome with me, Daniel Owen. Daniel, welcome to the show. And thank you so very much for accepting this and coming to my show. Thank you so very much. I'm very grateful and honored to have you.
Sure thing. I'll clarify something. It's my first name is Dylan. Last name is Oglein. I knew you were going to butcher.
I knew you were going to butcher it.
So, no worries. Everybody gets the last name wrong. So, no worries. It's Dylan Oglein. And thank you so much for having me as a guest. And you really set the expectations high. I am the perfect guest to talk about mindset. So there's a lot of pressure on my shoulders right now. I'm feeling it, man. But thank you so much for having me.
Okay. So, Dylan, I was thinking, like, you know, as previously you mentioned that, you know, in 2016, you scrapped some 10 of your projects and then you started this digital agency and then you really yes. built it very successfully. So highlight something about that. How did you, you know, from fail to success? What was that? Something about your past.
Sure. So we a lot of people, they hear you need to focus, read a business book or anything like that. And everybody's like focus. But when you're struggling, when you are starting out with a business or like me, I've always been a business owner. I started my first business when I was 14. I've only ever had one job. Like it was a summer job working a cotton candy stand. When you are building, when you are starting out, you are going to be desperate. And what that naturally leads you to do is chase the shiniest objects. It's called shiny object syndrome. You're bouncing around from one project to the next. You're trying to get something to work. And literally, I don't know anybody who came from, I hate using the term humble beginnings, who didn't come from wealth or something like that. Or like me, I'm a high school dropout who didn't come from college or something like that. Nearly everybody I know from some kind of situation like that did the same thing, or they are still doing it. They are bouncing around from one project to the next because you're so desperate to try to get something to work. And in your mind, since we're talking about mindset here, in your mind, you're like, well, if I could just get this project to make me a couple $100 a month, and then this one to make me a couple $100 a month, then I will actually have some income coming in. And then I can, you know, focus on the big stuff.
Yes.
And I spent 12, 13 years doing that, wasting a big chunk of my life, being miserable, not traveling around the world, being the absolute not perfect example of what you want to talk about. And yeah, I mean, I was nearly $1 million in debt. I didn't know sleep. What is that? I don't know what sleep is anymore. I never went on a vacation. I was miserable. It was getting absolutely nowhere. And like you said, I say it was, you know, 10 plus business projects. I don't even know how many it was. There were so many different directions I was going in. And it was advice from a mentor. It was, I had a conversation with a long-term mentor, explained the situation to him. And he was just like, you know, figuratively speaking, it was like a slap aside, you know, across the face that like woke me up. Like the solution was right in front of me. It was, dude, just focus on one single project. The project or the business or the service that is most likely going to get you to your financial goal. And that's what I did. And that was the end of 2016, 2017, the business hit multiple six figures. And then in 2018 was the first time we hit seven figures. So 2018, 2019. And then I think this week we'll probably hit seven figures for the year.
Wow, so, that is so amazing.
I just condensed like 15 years into 1 minute, 1 or 2 minutes. Yeah. So.
But the amazing part is you did not give up. I mean, most people after 13, 14 years, I mean, they would just settle with a job or something, you know, that rat race life. And that was amazing. You just did not give up. And that is, you know, what really triggered you? What made you like, no, I just don't want to give up. This is what I want to do. What was that main trigger? Like, what hit you so hard?
So for me, there wasn't a trigger. I think I talked to somebody about this yesterday, actually. And for me, I had to keep going. Failure wasn't an option. And to clarify, I have failed way, 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 way more than I have succeeded. Quote unquote succeeded. There's multiple business projects that failed in a blaze of glory. And, you know, like I said, 12, 13 years of pain and suffering and getting absolutely nowhere. So when I say, you know, failure is not an option, like those are things that I failed at all the time. But I'm saying like I couldn't give up because there was no plan B, there was no backup plan. And I consider myself lucky for that. The person I was talking to yesterday, I said, I think the worst thing you could ever possibly have in your life is to become comfortable or, yeah, you know, like, oh, if I fail, it's okay. I got a trust fund or I got, my parents will give me money or, you know, it's okay. I have a backup. Like that's a very bad place to be in life, in my opinion. And I'm not, having a plan B. In my particular case, like I said, I'm a high school dropout. I didn't have a college degree. I didn't have anything. So if I failed and I gave up, like I wouldn't eat. I wouldn't get a job. Like nobody would hire me. And there were even times where I tried to get a job and nobody would hire me because this guy's an idiot. And so I think in my particular case, I figuratively burnt all bridges. There was no backup plan. I had to keep going because if I didn't, I would go hungry. There wouldn't be any food. There would be no water. and I consider that a blessing. Because I truly believe being comfortable is the worst thing that could happen to somebody.
Yeah, that's very, very true. You know, I always tell my client when I train them, you know, if you have a plan B, you're not getting anywhere. You won't be successful because that's a, you know, subconscious mind is having that thought that you don't trust in yourself. You don't trust in your plans. You know, that subconscious mind does not let you win that thing. So that was amazing. Thank you so much for that. And so let's get deep dive into the main course. So from that failure to this amazing success, what was the right mindset, or let's just say the growth mindset that actually helped you, you know, gain this? What were the changes that you brought in yourself, the routines or learning, whatever the things that you did?
Certainly focus, as we've talked about. Focus, determination. You can't give up. You just have to make up your mind, just decide that this is what I'm going to do. Like I'm going to eventually get there. success, whatever that is. I'm not going to give up until I have that success. And this can, listen, this can apply in business. This could apply to athletes. This could apply to actors and actresses. It could apply to politicians, like literally anybody, any profession. Like, you just need to decide that I'm going to succeed. I'm going to eventually get there. And like, the universe will just get out of your way. Like, it'll just move out of your way, and you will eventually get there. So I think just relentless, ruthless determination. That is certainly just, you have to have that mindset. There's no question about it. Focus was a big thing that I was missing, certainly. Another thing would be, and this is kind of a weird answer, is gratitude. And I study stoicism, and gratitude is a big thing that you'll take away from that. And for me, it helps kind of in two fronts. So by showing gratitude, we've probably all heard that, you know, be thankful for what you have and you'll be a happier person. And that is undeniably true. If you're going through struggles in life and you feel thankful for them, or thankful just for the things that you have, you will be a happy person. You will always be like, you know, somebody could have it worse. You know, Nelson Mandela was in prison for what, like 25 years. And the dude would constantly practice, gratitude, and you know, it could be worse, and just being thankful that I have the breath in my lungs. So certainly that point. The second reason that I think gratitude is so important is it naturally, just by its very nature, defeats ego. And I don't mean ego in terms of like, oh, I'm the best, I'm a winner, that kind of stuff. It battles ego in terms of thinking that you're always right, or you're thinking that you know what you're doing. So because you're practicing gratitude and it naturally defeats ego, you don't necessarily have a problem reaching out to somebody and saying, hey, I noticed you're doing this and this. You have this successful business. Can I talk to you about it? Tell me a little bit more. And when you get that advice, you're not like, oh, that person's wrong, I know the right way. You're constantly in this like, seeking out better ways to do things. So if I had any particular mindset hack to give somebody, it would certainly be gratitude. It's an 80-20 method. It's 20% of effort that gets you 80% of the results.
Yes. Very true. And as a brain expert, I always tell people, you know, when you're in a gratitude state, your mind cannot be angry, depressed, sad. It will only stay in that, you know, gratitude zone. So that's very, very, very amazing. So I would like to tell our audience that whoever is watching this on either YouTube or listening this on podcast, please take the screenshot of this episode and share it on the social media and tag both of us. We'd like to see and hear from you. And the links are in the description. So getting back to the questions, Daniel, you know, if you ask a school kid, if they have an exam, what is the right thing that you're supposed to do? He will say, I'm supposed to study, but they don't. You know, most people, there are many people who know what they're supposed to do and know the right method, but still they are not able to, you know, take the action, or they just don't do it. Like, so when you train people, what do you notice the most that holds people back, or why don't they just couldn't do it?
They just do it. I would say, I think this is probably going to be an unexpected answer. What I have noticed, and I used to do this myself, and this kind of plays into the focus thing, is people try to do too many things. So I like to say, if you want to have like a to-do list for the day, like I have a to-do list, I have a Moleskine notebook that sits beside me here on my desk. if there are 10 big pick up and I'm like, yeah, like I'm going to take on the day, and I try to do 10 things that day, I absolutely guarantee you I'm not going to do any of them.
Yes.
You're not. But if I have just one big thing on that list, I'm probably going to get that done for the day, or at least make a conscious big effort, you know, on progress on getting it done. So when I'm teaching my students, I particularly, you know, I tell them, like, you focus, keep things ridiculously simple, and just pick, like, if you try to do 10 things today, you're not going to get any of them done. Just pick one single thing for today and just focus on getting that done.
Yeah, and that is amazing.
If you do that every single day, 6 days out of the week, 5 days out of the week, you get one big thing that moves your business or your project or, you know, your career or whatever it is you're working on. You pick one single thing and you work on that one single thing every day, eventually you'll get to your goal. On top of that, you feel like you get that like dopamine hit whenever you cross that thing off on your to-do list. But if you did that one thing and then you have nine more things on your to-do list, you're going to be like, dude, I got nothing done today.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think just having one single thing every single day to move your business, move your career, move your project or whatever it is you're working on. I think that's really good advice.
So Daniel, since you have mentioned focus so many times, I want to ask you, how did you actually increase your focus? Like, as you know, you said that you were not very focused then, and now you as you changed, how that change came and how did you do that?
Sure. So I think for me, it was I had spent so long suffering, grinding out and not getting anywhere, that when I got that, you know, figurative slap across the face and realized that the solution was right in front of me, I just made a commitment to just ruthlessly focus and keep things simple. So like before, if I was, you know, if I had one of these business projects or whatever, it had to be perfect. I had to get a really nice logo and I had to get a business card and I had to get stationery and I had to have a nice phone system. And then I needed to work on PR and then I needed to do this and this, like stuff that just doesn't matter. Right. And that's why none of the projects ever went anywhere. So once I realized, like, oh, that's the mistake I'm making, I just made a commitment that I am going to just do the absolute necessary stuff and nothing else. So like my agency, once I decided that I was going to be focusing on digital advertising management service, naturally my mind, because I'm a perfectionist, I was like, well, I need to go build a really nice website, and then I need a logo, and then I need a business card, and then I need a phone system, and blah, blah, blah. I need all these things. And I just was like, no, I don't need that. I probably don't need that. I probably don't need that. I'm going to focus on getting somebody. I'm going to focus on proving product market fit, keeping it ruthlessly simple, and just reach out to people and see if they're willing to give me money for this service. Like, that's how you prove product market fit. So I just did it. And then once it actually started to work, I was like, oh, that was the answer. So, you know, like my agency, I didn't have a website until the beginning of this year. I did seven figures for 2 years with no website.
Yes.
You just didn't need it. Now that's dumb. I don't recommend that to anybody because there's certainly a level of professionalism that comes with having a website and maybe getting a logo or something. But it was just that I had spent so long suffering that I kind of just quit the perfectionist cold turkey. Like I just quit it. I was like, I'm not going to do that anymore. So now, and I teach people this in my program, just keep things ruthlessly simple. If you're going to build a website, you're going to build a logo, you're going to do all these things for your business, get it done tonight. Like tonight. That make a commitment. Like, if I'm going to do this stuff, it has to be done tonight. Don't spend 6 months building out the perfect website.
No procrastination.
You just have to, make the decision and just ruthlessly commit to it. as if your life depends on it.
Yeah, that is so amazing. You know, you actually reminded me of my story. When I started my YouTube channel, it took me 6 months to actually act on it, because I was very sure about my content, the content that I was about to provide, you know, but I was comparing myself with other people, like the visual and the editing part and so much. I was trying to be perfect until unless I lost that illusion. You know, the real joy is not in, you know, the real joy is in progress and process. The real joy is in process and progress. So I just like, no, I need to do it now. And that is how, you know, it really took me 6 months. So that was my reason of
lacking. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I really like to hit people. You know, just do it. Just whatever, if it's a YouTube channel or it's a podcast or it's a training program or whatever, just do it and get it out. Because I 100% guarantee you that it's going to take 50 iterations before you actually get to the perfect product, the perfect video, the perfect podcast, whatever. Yes. And there's absolutely no way for you to get to number 50 if you never put out number one. And this is a dirty little secret, but your first podcast, your first YouTube video, your first photo set, if you're a photographer, your first training program, your first sales call, the first time you do anything is going to be terrible. But when you get on, you know, if you're looking at somebody else's YouTube videos and you're like, man, those videos are so good, I guarantee you their first video was terrible.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite podcasts is Tim Ferriss, the Tim Ferriss Show. Listen to his first episode. It's terrible. It's not good. Like, he repeats himself multiple times. He like stutters a bunch of times. And this guy's like a millionaire, and his first podcast like wasn't that good. And when he looks back on it, he's like, he's embarrassed by it. But he's like, there's no way for me to get to the 50th one that'll be good unless I do the first one.
Absolutely.
And I see so many people, and what I advise to people is, like, you know, if you have a training program, launch it tonight, do it tonight or this weekend. Like, it has to be now that you record that quick video, you know, go do that photo set, you know, make that do your first podcast, just do it now and get it out there. And that's going to get you closer to the 50th or the 100th. That'll actually be incredible.
Yes, that is very true. And, you know, I think if people cannot enjoy the process, I think they should not. What do you believe? If you cannot enjoy the process, the journey, I don't think so it's worth doing that work, right?
Oh, 100%. You have to enjoy. I think you'll realize that the part that's actually fun and enjoyable is seeing yourself get better. Making, you know, if you're doing a podcast, making those little improvements to, like, oh, my background's better, or my audio is better, or, oh, I wrote really good show notes this time, or whatever, just those slight improvements that make you better and better and better. Like, it's the climb that is the enjoyable part that you will look back on. And I can look back on projects or whatever, and I'm like, oh man, that was so stupid. That was so bad. But it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable to, like, to see yourself get better and better at something. And there's no way for you to get better unless you actually put something out. And the worst thing you can do is spend 6 months like you did. Like, everybody does. Everybody does that. Spend 6 months sitting around being like, oh, you know, my audio needs to be perfect. This needs to be perfect. No, just get that, get it out there now. Just do it now.
Just get it out. Yeah. Please just don't get it out. Don't be me.
Yeah, so, don't do that.
So that was amazing. And you know, every successful people or every growth mindset person has an amazing morning routine. You know, so do you have one, and would you like to share what's your morning routine?
Oh, absolutely. I have no problem talking about this. And this is important. I believe that your the first and last hour of your day define your life.
Yeah.
If you are working until you pass out at your desk, you probably don't have your priorities straight. If you are going to bed and then looking at your phone, and you go to bed looking at Facebook, like, you're probably not going to be focused. You're probably not going to get good sleep. If you wake up in the morning and you woke up late because you went to bed at a bad hour or whatever, you're probably going to be scrambling for the rest of the day. And so the first and last hour of your day define your life. I'll actually start with my evening routine, how I end the day. So I typically go to sleep at 11. I stop working 100% at 10 o'clock unless there is some emergency. So this is 10 p.m. Like, I'm done working. I have a few supplements I take, melatonin, ZMA, I think they're called. And that's just to help me relax, help me get to sleep. I drink tea before I go to bed. This is all within that last hour. What else? I read for about a half hour. And then I picked this up from Japan. This is a Japan culture thing. They will, and I'll probably do this maybe three to four days a week.
Okay.
I think it's called an onsen, which I really need to look up what it's actually called.
Okay.
But basically, it's this popular thing, I guess, in Japanese culture, where, like, before you go to bed, you'll soak in really hot water
for
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you do that in India by chance?
No, actually, lots of trainers, they tell, and I also suggest people, like, and especially spiritual leaders, like Sadhguru and all, they always tell, when you are back in home, okay, after your work, when you come home, the first thing that you do is take a little lukewarm shower, you know, and this is very spiritual as well, you know, and when you're taking that shower, you feel that every drop, you close your eyes, feel every drop, and as if all the negative energy is actually coming down and, you know, leaving the body, and that really helps a lot. You know, actually try this, you know, just close your eyes and feel, tell yourself in your mind that all the negativity is really.
You're feeling all that negative.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's,
I like that.
Amazing.
I like that.
Really very powerful. Yes, please continue.
Yeah. So this, it's not a bath. I'm not like sitting in bubble baths and then I have my glass of champagne or something. It's just as hot as water as you can possibly stand with some Epsom salt in it. And, what this does, the entire purpose, is that it increases your body temperature. And the most exhaustive thing that your body can do is trying to decrease its temperature. Your body will divert all resources and all energy to try to decrease temperature because it's very dangerous if your body overheats. So by increasing your body temperature, by sitting in this really hot water, you become exhausted. So you soak in the water for like 10 minutes, just hot as possible, as hot as you possibly can stand. Then I get out of the water, I dry off, I go to bed, and I fall asleep. Just boom, knocks you out. So then I get really good sleep, and I try to sleep 7 to 8 hours. Now we're onto the morning routine. So I get up at 7. My first hour looks like I do like a stretching routine. Maybe it's like 5 minutes of like a little bit of yoga and everything just to get the body warmed up.
Yes.
So I do that. I meditate for about 10 to 15 minutes.
Yes.
And have my coffee with my girlfriend. And then, what else? Then I get a shower, and that's pretty
cold
much
shower?
It. But cold shower? No. Oh, no. No. A lot of people talk about the cold shower, and I'm like, no. I'm not doing the cold shower. I do cold plunges. At the gym I go to, they have it's a cold plunge. It's like 40 degree water or whatever. And after a workout, I'll go into that. but no, cold showers, absolutely not. I like my water, I like my hot shower.
But it has a lot of benefits.
There's a ton of benefits. Yeah, there's a ton of benefits in cold showers. But no, that's not for me.
That is But
this would actually, I'd actually would like to take that a little bit step further. I would argue that one of the most powerful things you can do is you never want to consider yourself rigid. And this is going to go off a little bit, but this has to do with mindset. You never want to consider yourself rigid. So like, you know, I'm sitting here talking about the cold showers and I'm like, oh no, I wouldn't do that. That's probably a sign that I should do cold showers. Because you always want to consider yourself like malleable. Yeah. Like hot steel that like can bend and you're not stiff. And what I mean by that is you're not stuck in like, this is who Dylan is. Like I don't take cold showers or whatever. So there's this term, continuous destruction of the perceived self. And what this is basically just doing things that you would never do. So like I would never get a cold shower. So that's probably a sign that I need to go take a cold shower to kind of shock yourself and be like, I can move in different directions. I can become anything I want to become. A perfect example of this is people who are like, I'm bad at sales. And I'm taking this in the direction specifically with business. If you're like, I'm bad at sales, you become locked in your mindset of I'm bad at sales, because you're defining yourself, Dylan is bad at sales. So by shocking yourself and continuously destructing your perceived self by doing just weird things, you can change your mindset into thinking like, oh, I can become a different version of myself. I can become good at sales. So it's all kinds of just weird things. And I always try to do that. Like, you know, it's changing up which treadmill I walk on at the gym or my workouts, or if I have a way that I drive to the gym, I will drive a different direction. All kinds of weird things like that. Just to, if I feel like I'm getting stuck too much and this isn't who I am and this is the way I am, and I'm struggling to make a kind of a mindset shift, I will try to destruct my perceived self. I hope that makes sense.
No, a lot. Because of cold showers. You know, and you know, one of the key ingredient of all successful people is that they are very uncomfortable. They are very comfortable being uncomfortable. You know, they always try very, very different things.
Oh yeah, that's.
You know, so
yeah, you. That's very good stuff right there. Become comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. So, Daniel, one more important, very, very important question is, when I train people, you know, for growth mindset, I always tell, most people think that money is the only way of success. Like, if I have money, mm-hmm. I am successful. You know, but I always tell them, I just tell me, do you agree this or not? And I tell that there are certain elements in everybody's life. Like in mine, there are 6 elements. If I balance them, I'm successful. Mm-hmm. The broad category that I believe in for me is career, relationship, skills, adventure, and spirituality, you know, and health, most important. You know, if I'm earning $1 million every single day and I have to visit hospital every day, I don't think so I'm successful. Or if I have $1 million every single day and I have nobody to turn back and hug somebody or love, you know, there's nobody to talk to, I don't think so I'm successful. So if you believe in that, and how do you balance this? What are the sectors that you have and how do you balance that?
I would say first, I 100% agree with what you just said. I like your 6 categories. That's a good way of thinking of it.
Thank you so much.
I believe it's, how do I balance it? I think you just need to be honest with yourself. So let me back up here. First, is simply recognizing that there isn't just one single area that you, if you've just focused on that one area, everything else doesn't matter.
Yes.
People gravitate towards money, and I can 100% guarantee you, I know a lot of people who have a lot of money and they're absolutely miserable with their lives.
Yes.
So you need all of those things. Spirituality, relationships, health. We all know the person who's rich and fat. That person ain't happy. At the end of the day, like, I guarantee you, like, you know, if you have a bunch of money, but you're, like you said, if you're going to the hospital every day, that's not a happy life. And I do think that I am seeing people recognize this more and more. I think the whole at least in the United States, for sure, there was just this, like, my brother's Gen Z? No, he's not Gen Z. He's 10 years older than me. The generation, I'm a millennial. So whatever generation came before millennials, health doesn't matter. The baby boomer generation here in the United States, like, health didn't matter. It was all about just money, money, money.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they cared about relationships, but health wasn't an importance. So yeah, I'm getting off topic here, but it is very, very important to balance all these things. And you have to recognize that. I think that's step one, is recognizing that, yes, it is important. Second thing is being honest with yourself and kind of taking a second and realizing, like, where am I weakest at? Where do I need to put some attention towards? And wherever you feel like that needs more attention, then yeah, focus there. How do I balance it? If I'm feeling like, if I'm feeling like the relationships or you know, that category is going down, then I need to put some effort in there, and I need to put some time and some focus into that. I think it's just you need to. It is up to you to make those things a priority. Yeah. That's not a very sexy answer.
No,
just the way it is. Yeah, you need to make it a priority.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people actually fail because they give money more priority and they fail in other things.
100%.
Absolutely. So amazing. So, so real.
And I would add one comment that it's not, like, I'm relatively healthy. I go to the gym. I cycle, you know, I'm doing all these things. So I'm in my circle of people, like my family, I'm undoubtedly the healthiest person. And I'm always like my family, like, I want them to be healthy. And they're like, oh, Dylan, I just don't have the time. And I'm like, you don't have 20 minutes. Like, you don't have to run a marathon. Yeah. You don't have 20 minutes for your health. You don't have 20 minutes to, you know, maybe you don't need to pray or, you know, to just think about mortality, and you don't have 20 minutes for that. You don't have 20 minutes to, go for a walk with your spouse. Really? Really? You don't have 20 minutes for that? Cause if you don't have, there's a good quote. Credit to whoever said this, but, this has to do with meditation. If you don't have 5 minutes to meditate every day, then you need to meditate for 20 minutes a day.
Wow.
Because you're so going in so many different directions, and the meditation will help you kind of get more focused. If you don't have 5 minutes to go for a walk or to do some push-ups or something to get a little more fit, then you need to reevaluate your entire life, because we all have 20 minutes for one of these things. You don't want to I think the first thing is like I mentioned is
recognizing making
it a priority, certainly, but recognizing that if you have all the money in the world but you're unhealthy, you're not going to be happy. If you're the healthiest person in the world but you have no money, you're not going to be happy. All of those things matter, and you have to take the responsibility to put focus towards them.
That's so true. Very, very true. And who are the, you know, people who make a big influence in your life, or from whom you learn a lot? You know, every people has some, you know, idol. So who was your idol, and who inspired you?
Who was my idol? I I would, before the show, I was listening to one of your shows. You did the five people that you're closest to or something.
So this is a
good quote unquote lesson is you are the five closest people in your circle. So if you hang out with five people who are unfit, you're probably going to get fat and lazy. If you hang out with five people who, are bums and they don't have jobs and don't have businesses or anything, they're just sitting at home playing video games all day, you're probably not going to have a successful business. So recognize that your circle of influence is incredibly important. The hack, the great thing here is maybe in your immediate area, your family, your friends, your local area, there are no people that are the better versions of yourself that you want to be. Luckily, we have the internet and we have books.
Yes.
So your circle could include Tim Ferriss. I talked about Tim Ferriss. He's certainly a mentor of mine. I've never met the guy. But in terms of lifestyle design, business, and things like that, stoicism, Tim Ferriss has had a massive influence on my life. Again, I've never met the guy. I've read his books and I've listened to his podcast.
Yeah.
Robert Kiyosaki I don't know if you know. Do you know who Robert Kiyosaki
is?
Yes. Yeah. So he wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He's had a massive influence on my life. I don't even know if that guy's still alive. Oh, yeah. His books are incredible.
Absolutely.
I don't even know if he's still alive. I've never met the guy, but he's had an incredible impact on my life. Abraham Lincoln, Benjamin Franklin. It could be people that are dead that you've read their books or read about them. I would say publicly probably the two. No, I'm going to say three people that have just kind of been mentors or had a big influence on me would be Tim Ferriss, Robert Kiyosaki, and Sam Ovens. He has a consulting business. And then I've had private mentors that probably wouldn't want me to mention their names, but people like that. And then my girlfriend, she's had a massive influence on my life. So.
Yeah, that is very true. So that is amazing, and you said it so right. This was again very personal to me, in my life also, I had nobody around me who was successful and who was living the life that I wanted to live. And as I mentioned in the beginning of my show, you should always take advice from somebody who has done it. So I also turned back to internet, books, Robert Kiyosaki. He actually brought this concept of money and home not being your liability and not being your asset and liability. And I was like, oh my God, I was so much in illusion. This man literally shook me. Wow. So
I was so lucky. That was the app. That was the very first business book I ever picked up, and it just. I was 14 years old, 13, 14 years old, and it just rocked my world because it's the first book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which anybody who's listening to this, if you don't have the resources, find a way to get that book into your hands. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he has, think 20 different books that he's written, but the original Rich Dad, Poor Dad, read that book. It'll change your life. But yeah, as like a 13, 14 year old, that's like my financial Bible. it's the original testament. It's I probably read that book like four or five. I think it's over there. Yeah, I have. You can't really see, but I have like a whole bookshelf going around me. One comment I would like to add to that is, you want to keep your circle small. So I'm going to use fitness. I'm just going to go with that as an example. If you're following 20 different, you say you have nobody in your immediate circle that is fit and you want to be a bodybuilder or whatever. If you are following 20 different bodybuilders and watching Facebook groups with bodybuilders and watching YouTube videos with bodybuilders, you're going to have conflicting advice. You're not going to know what is the best workout routine, what are the best supplements to take, what to eat. And the truth is that nobody's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is just pick one and run with it. So the because the truth is if that person has had success, they're probably going to be able to teach you to have success too. The last thing you want to do is spend 10, 20, 30 years of your life looking for the perfect advice, not actually getting anywhere. Yeah, what matters is actually taking relentless, ruthless action in some direction. And you'll probably end up where you want to be. So like with finance, I follow Robert Kiyosaki. There's probably 10,000 new finance books that are going to be released this year. But I just choose to follow Robert Kiyosaki and it's served me pretty well. Is it perfect? Probably not, but I'm actually taking action because I'm following advice.
Exactly.
So that's very, very important, I think.
That is so very true. And the whole concept of growth mindset is to be very flexible. I know those rules, regulation, maybe 20, 30 years, they might change, but we need to start somewhere. So that is very real and true. And also if you want, so what was the sum of, let's, if you're talking about books, you know, I read books every single day. I'm a memory trainer, so I train people to read fast and all this. So I read books every single day. What are some of your best or favorite books or that you would like to recommend that you read?
I'll try to keep the list small. Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. I believe it's called, so I study Stoicism a little bit. I believe it's Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. Don't quote me on that, but you know what? Pick up any meditation book or any Stoicism book and you're probably headed in the right direction. Just looking at my bookshelf.
Yeah, Sean, no problem.
Harry Potter. You gotta have some Harry Potter in there. And Team of Rivals. That's just a political book, but I absolutely love it. That's by Doris Kearns Goodwin, I believe. It's about Abraham Lincoln. It's just an incredible book. Highly recommend that. And then The Audacity of Hope by Barack Obama. That would be my book recommendations for today.
Oh, thank you so very much.
Have you read that?
I did not read that Barack Obama one. I'll read whatever I'm missing. I'll definitely read them.
Yeah, and I just bought his new book. What is it called? Whatever Barack's new book. Oh man, I can't believe I'm stumbling on it. Is it We the People? It's not We the People. Oh, Promised Land by Barack Obama. I got it yesterday, and I'm like 2 pages in. So
okay. Yeah, that man is great. So as you mentioned earlier, you know, you had this digital agency, right? So a lot of my audience are very young and getting into this culture, you know, they still haven't decided what to get into. So can you just highlight a little bit what this digital agency is and most importantly, what is the future of this work?
Sure. So as a quick recap, I own a digital agency called Oakline Digital. We focus on simply direct response digital advertising management. And what that is, in the simple layman's terms, we manage Facebook and Google ads for our clients. So we will write the ad copy. We'll write the Facebook ad as an example, the Google ad, and then we will build the landing page for the client. And basically we choose what to target, what keywords with Google or whatever. And then the potential customer for the client goes to that landing page, submits a form or buys something right away, depending on whatever. And then it's up to the client to take things from there. That's what we do. I also have an education company, which is ran under my personal name, DylanOakline.com, where I have a training program called Agency 2.0, where I teach people how to start and grow their own digital marketing agency like I have. Where do I think the the industry is going, I still believe we're kind of almost in the infancy of things. COVID just, the world has been changing for more faster and faster. Things are going more digital.
Yeah,
everybody is shopping online.
Yeah,
everything is moving online. And COVID just cranked that up to 100 and really, really sped up the process. So with more and more businesses going online, more and more people are going to be looking for marketing strategies to grow their online business. Facebook is getting better and better every day. They know more and more about you every day. The algorithm gets better and better every day. So I see just ridiculous growth coming over the next 10 to 20 years. We are going to become more and more of a digital society. More and more people, it's not even that more and more people, certainly more and more people are going to be coming online, but it's not just that. It's our lives are becoming more at home in our virtual world. Like this. I was talking to my neighbor about this yesterday, actually. We were talking about business travel. Business travel is never going to come back to what it was pre-COVID.
Yeah.
For years, more and more people were doing meetings online.
Yeah.
But there was still kind of this stigma of like, we got to meet in person to get the deal done. I got to see your body reaction, you know, that your body language or whatever. There was still that stigma. So there were still conferences, there were still person-to-person meetings, people flying all over the country to close business deals. Well, COVID happens and you were forced to change that. So now it was, you know, you have to do Zoom meetings, you have to do Zoom podcasts, like everything became digital because there was no option.
Yeah.
And because of that, people are now forced to recognize that, you can do business deals over Zoom. You don't have to fly across the country to go shake somebody's hand. So I think I don't even know where I was going with this, but I think the world is certainly changing. It is getting more and more digital. Business travel is never going to come back to what it was. Less people, the office space. And we were also talking about office space. Like I have felt for years, like if there was a way for me to short the commercial real estate market, I would, because I think commercial real estate, I don't know what it's like in India, but here you have like strip malls, like these small little shops or whatever in a strip mall. Well, that's dead, because everybody just buys everything on Amazon or buys everything online.
Same here.
And I don't go to the mall to buy clothes. Who does that anymore? So malls are dead, strip malls are dead. And now because of COVID, people were still convinced that you need to go into the office to get work done. You know, if you're any kind of business, you need to go into the office to actually work.
Yeah.
There was still this stigma at the beginning of this year that people that worked at home were lazy or weren't actually getting work done. And then everybody was forced to work at home.
Absolutely.
So companies are going to realize that they can reduce cost and their employees are going to be happier. People aren't stuck in traffic. Everybody's going to be working at home.
Yeah.
And because people are working at home, more people are online. The digital market, it's going to explode.
Yeah, that is so very true. You know? So since, you know, this company, this digital agency is like, you know, going to explode and so much. So whoever is watching this, and if you really find this interesting, and if you find that, you know, you can really polish your hand in this. So, and as Janelle said, he trained people, you know, he helped people to get started with. So how can my audience find you then? How can they, you know, reach you and how?
Sure. My website is Dylan, D-Y-L-A-N, Ogline, O-G-L-I-N-E.com. that's it. Just my name, which I'm sure you're probably going to add it to the show notes or whatnot.
Yeah. But I'll add that on the description. Everything will be there. Don't worry. So
I'm sure you just click on that, check out my website and yeah.
Okay. And just last two more questions is one of the reason to have such shows like Growth Mindset is because we can share our mistake to people, the mistake that we, or the lesson that we learned the hard way. Mm-hmm. We can share it to the people so that they don't do the same mistake. So mm-hmm. What were some of the biggest lesson from your life that you learned the hard way that you would like to?
I'm going to go with focus. I'm going to go with focus on that. Yeah, that was probably the biggest mistake I made, was bouncing around from so many different projects, not getting anywhere. Just focus on one single business or projects or whatever it is. One single path. And that's it. That's the biggest lesson that I have learned is focus.
Yeah, and you're right, you know, especially at this time, you know, when social media is making us, you know, okay, this guy is doing this, let's try. So I think focus is actually, you know, disappearing. So I think that has to be. And last but not the least, Daniel, what is one growth mindset hack, tip or habit that you do all the time and you would like to share it with my audience?
You know, I think we talked about it earlier, and that would be the gratitude. That is, and I'm going with that because it's kind of a weird answer. Like nobody says that, right? is the gratitude for the reasons we discussed. It typically makes you happier, and then it naturally battles ego or thinking that you're right, and it puts you in a mindset where, you know, hey, I'm constantly learning, and possibly I'm wrong. It challenges your preconceived notions of how to do something. I would say my growth hack of the day is gratitude. Wow, that would be my amazing tip for the day.
Sure, that's gratitude. Amazing. And just one more. When do you practice this gratitude? Like early morning, night, when?
In particular, where I'm like really thinking about it is during meditation.
Yeah.
But then it's also just as I go through life, when a problem arises, or I've probably gotten to the point where it's more subconscious. I'm not sitting there like, oh, I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that this problem happened. It's, once you train yourself, it's just, you naturally become like, a lot less negative. And, you know, when something bad happens or a struggle happens or whatever, you're just constantly like, hey, I'm kind of glad this happened. You know, what's the lesson? What can I do to, you know, shake things up and make it better, whatever. So again, where I'm really thinking about it is during meditation, constantly thinking about, I'm thankful for all the struggles. I'm thankful for the breath in my lungs. I'm thankful that I'm alive, just all that stuff. I'm thankful for the warmth of my body, just constantly thinking about that stuff. But other than that, it's pretty subconscious.
Oh, that is amazing. So that was it. And I would like to thank you again, Daniel. Thank you so, so, so very much. The show was absolutely amazing. And I hope you like the show as well. And what is that, anything that you would like to say to my audience about the show or anything?
No, focus, be relentless, and show some gratitude. There you go. Focus, be relentless, and show some gratitude.
Okay. Thank you so much, Daniel. Thank you so very much again. I'm very grateful and honored that you came. And I'm like, this was an amazing show. Thank you so very much. And again, to the audience, if you like that show, please take a screenshot, whether you're watching on YouTube, podcast, any platform, take a screenshot, share it on social media, and don't forget to tag both of us. We'd like to see you. Our links are in the description. Please do that, and see you next Saturday. Thank you so very much.
So if you want to learn more about growth mindset for your business, for your financial, for your health, and for all aspect of your life, please follow, like, and subscribe. You know all the norms. So please do that and come back again. Thank you.